from the Drown Rat Studios. You're listening to the Justice Speaks Up podcast, coming to you from everywhere and nowhere. Tipping the scales of justice with untold stories of American families. And now, Justice Speaks Up.
Justice Speaks Up is not a standard format podcast. You are listening to unscripted phone interviews for the purpose of documenting an ongoing open source human rights investigation into federally funded child abduction via collaboration between the U.S. Family Court and Child Protective Services. This often includes constructive parent and child estrangement on behalf of these agencies. This project is tracking the untold stories of U.S. families and conducting statistical research on behalf of this civil society in order to create solutions to a very important branch of the U.S. justice system that is statistically failing families and children. It's violating due process, violating constitutional violations, domestic terrorism, unlawful intimidation and surveillance of U.S. citizens. It's also conducting violations of the Violence Against Women Act by refusing to acknowledge the crimes committed against them in family court and in CPS custody cases. They're falsifying information in a federal, not all the time, but sometimes. It's rare when it happens, but they're falsifying information in federal individual education programs for special needs children, forcibly medicating minors. Lying and falsification of evidence is often at play. They're often violating American Disabilities Act, human rights violations, and due to these failures, they are contributing to U.S. poverty levels, homelessness, mental health dilemmas, addiction, and are all of these are a detriment to the entrepreneur and small business community by crushing many of these parents who own and many now are not operating startups. If you know any families that have been that may meet the criteria for this study, please have them email their participation request via the contact form on our website at justicespeaksup.us. Justice Speaks Up is also seeking to interview candidates who are running for government office, and we would love to discuss any areas in regards to their platform for reforming these entities and advocating for children and their families. In turn, we are also seeking anyone currently in these political seats to reach out to Justice Speaks Up via the same contact form to offer your input into this research study and to lend insight into for your constituents so that they can get answers. They've been left in the dark for many decades seeking answers to the areas that we are researching. Justice Speaks Up is conducting this research as a means to create a peaceful, long-lasting solution between U.S. families and these entities because we identify this as a U.S. crisis. I am requesting that listeners use their best judgment and not allow children under 18 to be present when you listen to these interviews.
Hi, I'm Archer Sierra, and you're listening to the Justice Speaks Up podcast. This episode, I've decided to do something a little differently. Which is a part two to the original blog post that started the Justice Speaks Up Transmedia Investigative Project. Just to kind of recap where we've been in order to pave the way for where we are going. So welcome to the No Bones in Heaven part two. I wanted to come clean about some of the barriers that we've been facing with getting podcast content out. We have without a doubt been struggling to get families to come forward. And I thought it was so unique the way this occurred that I'd share it with other maybe people trying to think about putting a podcast out. Or hey, I'm always open to feedback. So if you have suggestions, feel free to email me through the justicespeaksup.us website if you have a solution. First, I wanted to thank everybody for all of the support for this project. Little did I know when I started this, it would get as much response as it did. And you know, I'm a very private person, so even I think I need to take a step back and and make the conscious decision to sacrifice my privacy in order to continue to give this project the life that it needs, and hopefully encourage these other parents to come forward with their stories. And at some point, I suppose, when I went into this, I anticipated this could happen, and it did. What happened is, as the podcast started getting more followers and more attention, parents seemed to be more hesitant to give their stories up on the air for everyone, because the whole point is to get your voice out there. I think this is an anxiety-based issue and fear of people judging you. And so, in order to continue to fall on my own sword and continue my journey to my own You 2.0, I thought I'd, just kind of talk off the cuff today. Today, I ended up 20 minutes into a podcast interview that ended, and then the person didn't call back. And, that's a lot of frustration. And in many ways, this podcast was created out of frustration. But to kind of keep a good thought process, let me go down a timeline of a couple things that I wanted to cover. First, I wanted to put out there that when I started this project, I knew that I was taking on a project and birthing a project that no other producers wanted to touch because of obstacles such as this. Whenever you deal with broken people who have anxiety, everybody wants to make everything so fancy with a big red bow and make it so pretty. And to me, that's not authentic. To me, the best stories are the ones where people struggle. And the stories that no one wants to tell or wants to, in media. And the stories we harbor very, very deep inside of us and we cover with layers of pain, those are those stories that need to be told so we can all learn from it. And as a producer, I saw value in this project. And there was a point where I turned my back on my own industry in order to see this project go through, come hell or high water, no matter what cost, I chose this path to look very novice and unprofessional due to the fact that we can't quite seem to get a damn podcast out at 5 o'clock Monday through Friday consistently. But here's the thing about staying true to yourselves, people. We still have been given an offer to be syndicated into 104 countries with 1.4 million listeners a week. And we're exploring that. And they're also going to be assisting us with hitting the goal of selling 25,000 t-shirts by July 15th. We're still sorting out the details of that. But thank you, Rock Rage Radio. We appreciate the fact that you're going to assist us with our fundraiser. And in case many of you didn't know, last December, I was a guest DJ on my good friend Don LeMay's Rock Rage Radio show, which airs Mondays 6 to 7, and called Dawn of the Underground. And we raised some money for Standing Rock. So it's not my first time with Rock Rage, and I'm glad that they've welcomed me back with open arms. Some of the other factors that I took into consideration was from a project management standpoint, where often, you want to get something done fast, quick, execute quickly in 30, 60, 90 day period of time, which I also knew we were going to fail at that. And especially with me having the objective of wanting to push my startup company through the financing phase and monetize it before our 3-year window is up. For many people that don't know, your 0 to 3 years is considered your startup phase. Our startup phase expires August 14th of this year. So As I am overtasked and understaffed, I work long hours and I grind my face off as people come and go and fall flat, fall short. You know, I pick up all the slack, and it's entirely my fault if I hire people that, you know, can't seem to show up consistently. That's my fault. But on the other hand, I'm also trying to create job opportunities for families, qualified adults who have been financially broken by the court system that we're exposing. So I'm really trying to create jobs and get people back to work so they can provide for their children when they get them back. Again, a factor that no one else wanted to tackle. So with that said, I've been pursuing thinking outside of the box and getting funding together for this project because I know that the criteria that an investor would look at is not there. So I made the conscious choice to go down a very rocky road. Oh yeah, that's right, because option A and option B both suck. So Archer's blazing a trail through thick forest right down the middle and is perfectly happy to do so. I suppose one of the reasons is because the pushing this project through and pushing this company through and fully monetizing it by its startup expiration is my personal journey. I am one of the parents that have been affected by this court system. And although for those of you that have been following this since April 4th, when we attempted to launch it with a video series. And then nobody wanted me to go on video. And then we tried to, you know, put content out in, as it pertained to autistic children who are victims of crime. That relates to my family. Nobody wanted me to talk about that because of an pending appeal. We tried to talk about victims of crime and the address confidentiality program along with my participation in victim witness. Due to a pending appeal, nobody wanted to talk about that. There's a lot of factors that, for legal strategic reasons, I get it. Nobody wanted me to talk. So we pivoted and we moved forward with what was most important, which is not just the one story that is my personal story, but the thousands of other stories out there, because they're more important. Because it shows there's a serious epidemic of federally funded human trafficking of children and exploitation, financial exploitation of American families. And this is what we're trying to focus on. Now, I did not set out to become a digital media influencer. I am not the most tech-savvy person, necessarily. But I am always starving for information and I always rise to the occasion and try to learn. Now, whether or not I can learn quicker rather than slower, with my schedule, you know, it remains to be seen. I do want to say though, that I'm thankful for all of the emails, all of the direct messages, all of the content. Everybody is driving towards me to educate me on how to do this better. And that actually is one of the reasons I wanted to do this episode, is to let everybody know it's not that I don't see, it's not that I don't understand, it's that I am wearing a dozen different hats like many CEOs. I don't have 800 employees, I don't even have a dozen employees, and the people I have, I'm training, and because I have a lot of patience, I give more attempts to people than I should until they fall flat. But it doesn't mean I'm going to stop trying. I believe that this is a project that we're marketing as a pirate radio show because the content comes and goes. There's barriers that the interview subjects are battling that I cannot force them out of their shell. But what I can do is I can continue to fall on my own sword as part of my own journey and closure in a massively negative chapter of my life. And as I process that, I'm hoping that it can encourage the other people to speak up. And so far it's working, but we've hit a plateau. And so I felt it was important, what are we, April, May, June, July, we're three, four months in, felt it was important for me to hop on and give an update. Part of this whole journey, and I want to expand on a social media post I made about trauma-based mutism. Prior to experiencing it personally, I was not aware it was a thing. And I just last night reached out to a neurological specialist who's put me into a training for, identifying certain barriers that happens in our subconscious through the five different brain waves in order to overcome that. But here's what I'm noticing. I'm a very good self-advocate. I have a lot of self-awareness. So when I feel out of sync, I'm aware of it. But this is what I'm seeing a lot of the parents who, don't keep their podcast schedules, people who have the passion to volunteer, advocate, take on a job role and fall flat. It's because you lack self-awareness. And that is a cover-up to dealing with a deeper issue. And I think for you, I encourage you to, meditate, walk, jog, exercise, work out, play music, whatever it is for you. It's all different for all of us. Whatever it is that can get you into that deeper level of understanding of self in order for you to overcome barriers. Because I can tell you right now, there was a point when I thought about taking this to all of my investigation to social media and to a podcast. It was a bold move. And I mean, I have to come clean. I experienced a trauma in regards to my son when he was 3.5 years old. And there were multiple losses in business, in friendship, and just loss after loss, compiled losses, to where I eventually died of broken heart syndrome. And the only way my body knew how to react to that was I ended up not speaking. I stopped speaking slowly, slowly. Prior to that, without knowing it was happening subconsciously, I was just kind of starting to check out. To me, I justified that as saying I was just mentally preoccupied with work or what was going on with my son. But I wasn't aware that there was an underlying issue, because it really does kind of sneak up on you. And because I'm a naturally quiet person, outside of work, I don't think anybody ever caught on until, I ended up in the hospital, and then I just stopped talking after, losing important people in my life. And during a time of my life where I really needed everyone in my circle to support me, I think they just saw a very frazzled person and didn't know how to deal with me. And so therefore they just kind of walked off, which is fine, because looking back on this all, without me knowing it, there was an energy shift taking place in my life. And it was ironic that my personal journey and my entrepreneurial journey was somehow starting to sync up. And what was happening was a divine shift in life, purging people out of my life, obstacles out of my life, forcing me to face great pain in order to ultimately prepare me for the next level, which was always my objective, was to do humanitarian work. Out of great pain came a great empathy. And I was always empathetic before, but my near-death experience, which I won't go into right now, magnified that. And I started to see that there was a higher level of existing, and I just needed to vibe higher. And what it did is I magnified on such a level that I could not come back down. And all of those losses no longer mattered. They were completely irrelevant. And when you talk about great grief or great loss or great pain, there is a great relief that everyone who's going through this should know, which is just survive it, ride it out, embrace it. It will all make sense later. It's going to hurt like hell. It's going to be an entirely journey, and it's going to take everything you have to hold it together. But you're going to come out the other side of it. And the only way to do it is to have laser focus one day at a time on the task, time management, write a list, because you will want to float. You'll want to float. And if you have responsibilities to family, spouses, loved ones, business partners, you don't want to get into that riding out phase, because that's really just another layer of denial of what you're dealing with. And those losses are necessary to push you through to the other side of where you're ultimately supposed to be. And so if we're going to be, you know, forthright on this project, and talk about, you know, the journey of a startup, the journey of an entrepreneur, the journey of recovering from trauma and exposing how corruption affects entrepreneurs, small business, families, children, then I felt, you know, it was time to do No Bones in Heaven Part 2, mainly because we plateaued. And for me to address, you know, this shift, because I see a similarity. The same shift that caused it to start has caused it to delay. And it's my job to continue to push this project along. And, you know, we all have different journeys in life. And it has become obviously clear to me that this journey chose me. I didn't choose it. In order to lone wolf this project, I found that it was very necessary to turn to social media in order to build on the foundation of my circle of business mentors, in order to better equip myself with the skills, knowledge, resources I needed to push this through. And yes, it was also to let, you know, friends and loved ones and associates know that I was checking in daily, certainly after what happened last May. But, you know, I dropped off the grid for 2 weeks and frazzled out of everybody. So I, communicate. It's an excellent word. So moving on. The one other thing that I was wanting to express in this segment is that their mutism, trauma-based mutism, recovery from this is bizarre and strange. And that same neurologist I reached out to, I'm going to be following up with him and trying to find resources, because I realized I wasn't alone. I mean, this is a thing. This is a real thing. And, you know, I somehow was able to pull myself out of it through launching a podcast and building on the foundation of a background in writing and my love for writing and my love for, you know, media and creativity. I had something to cling to, and I can tell you many people don't. These are electricians or, you know, fields that don't necessarily rely on the written word or rely on being exposed to a vast amount of literature or music or arts. And that's what I was trying to express to people, is how important the arts are. We just simply can't defund the arts. The arts are used in, it's a universal language. I was lucky enough to have the Olympia Awards contract with the World Film Institute as an obligation. And my obligation to my dear old friend, the Honorable Dr. Antonio Gelini, to see this through, I knew I was perfect for the job. I remember when he started the World Film Institute, I understood his principles and what his objectives were. And over, you know, a couple of decades, you know, I started my own life and, you know, explored the arts as I did. And I had a lot to bring back to the World Film Institute. And that's what I'm saying. If you pay attention to my story, the parallels will show you that there was something directing me down a different path of where I was going. And so I wanted to express the arts through journalism storytelling, exploring the digital content world, which I had not done in a professional setting. I had in other ways since 2003, but I wanted to integrate everything. And it kind of happened organically. I was like, oh, I have the Olympia Awards, you know, I have this humanitarian project, the World Film Institute. Yeah, we know what they're all about, uniting the world through arts and peace and a humanitarian focus on family and children and bettering and uniting our global community through the arts. And I thought it was ironic because when Antonio and I had spoken in November of 2015, I told him, I said, this is just uncanny because my company is doing this and, well, you've been doing this for a long time and it seems I have some value to bring to you. And I feel like, you know, we can kind of integrate what we're doing. And this was the fusion of how Dark City Media Group, a group of unified filmmakers with a goal on using and creating media projects to raise money for philanthropy. Now, the ironic part is I did not know when I started out developing this concept in 2007 that I would be funding autism research, because in 2007, I had no idea I would give birth to a beautiful autistic child in 2011. But what I can tell you is that I learned a lot from a little autistic boy about how the mind works, nonverbal communication, the parent-child bond, being a voice for another human being. And it creates such a special bond that when that is severed, it's substantially traumatizing. And I won't get into too much what happened with the journalist retaliation towards me that led to my son and I being separated, but know that it was backed up by a very vindictive person who chose not to co-parent. And so because there's still a custody issue and an appeal, nobody wants me to talk about that, but I'm going to talk about it because what happened was wrong. And I won't go into too much detail. I'll leave it there. At another point, I'll discuss that a little bit more. But it comes down to, you know, parents who separate cannot throw their children under the bus for their own personal gain financially, for emotional fulfillment, to be vindictive, to harbor a child in order to meet your need to be angry at another individual. It's a deep-seated cruelty that means you're just kind of really, and this is a problem. This is one of the conversations I'm trying to communicate, because you can see that there's a toxic issue that happens. It's sometimes unpreventable when people are so angry at each other, but we must rise above this. And you can't throw your kids under the bus for these reasons. And if you are one of those people that are harboring a child in order to financially gain, or harboring them to gain a percentage of a company, should there ever be a windfall, you're a rotten human being. And, you know, I see a lot of this happening with men and women. And here's what I can tell you. Why am I talking about this? Because the courts are not a solution, folks. If you've been listening to the 14 podcast episodes we've been at, they are not there to assist you. They're there to gain off of broken people. So if you think you're going to walk your happy ass into a court of law and they're going to magically fix all the problems, you are fooling yourself. So what is the solution? If there's so much anger that it can't be resolved in mediation and the courts are broken and not a resource for parents in that situation to go to, what does that mean? The only solution is you have to step up and choose, make the conscious choice to not be a rotten human being and put your children first. And as I have been investigating child trafficking since 2003, I somehow have seen that children have become secondary citizens. They're treated like baggage. They're treated like they don't have a voice. They're treated as some kind of, you know, instrument to make money. And that is what I'm wanting to talk about as well, which is children are human beings. Every adult listening to this right now was a child once. Reflect back for a moment. How was your childhood? If it was good, awesome. You have a reason to carry on that legacy. If it was horrible, you have an obligation to break that cycle for the betterment of your children and humanity. Otherwise, you're just lending into a generational curse. And I cannot clearly say what the solution is, but I know that this project is the search for the solution. And I think the best way for this project to take off is for us to ride this out a few more weeks and let my team push through a couple of other factors that we're doing to break this, to bring this project to a larger scale. And it's slow going. This isn't a normal podcast. This isn't even normally scheduled podcast. It's a humanitarian cause. And that takes many hours. And you must understand, as I said earlier, it does not meet the criteria for venture capitalist, angel investors, or even foundations, really. So we're lone wolfing it. And because of my background, I know that I have the ability to create, you know, put together some creative financing, but that takes time because all of the normal revenue avenues of investment that we could go really are not an option right now. From what I can see, it would take literally a maverick investor who wouldn't put so much focus on the money and the ROI, but the quality of the investment into the human condition. And creating a solution and a true philanthropist who would want to see this reformed and see people stop suffering. And it's been my experience that people have lacked empathy. Our society has just become numb to so much. And it's sad, but I'm sorry. That's my journey. That's what I see. Call me. Email me. Prove me wrong. Much of this journey, as you know, I always have this little hashtag. It says, seek your tribe. You know, when many of my friends and associates and partners walked on me, I, like I said, I saw the purge. I saw the shift that my life was forming a new path. There was something different I was supposed to do. And, you know, I guess I guess I have a personal philosophy, which is I speak when it's important and when it improves upon silence. Because I talk so much on the phone, I talk so much working, hustling, digging up deals, that when my brain goes into not work mode, I'm quiet. And, you know, but that does not mean that I'm not fearless. I'm actually very fearless, and I find it very interesting how many communications I get on self-esteem, self-worth. Don't be living in fear. I'm rather fearless, and I'm seeking other fearless people. So clearly I'm the one putting out the podcast content and tackling a subject nobody else would take care of. And, nobody's calling me. So those fearless people that you're trying to, lend therapeutic value to, I can refer you to some, but it's not me. This is just a project that's outside of the box, and we're just trying to keep pushing it along. I personally think I'm very boring. The daily in and outs of running this company would be, no more than a ton of calls and disappointments and setbacks and, literally living in a car or camping out in a front room with notepads and books and research and typing away at a computer. And it's very mundane, nothing exciting. It's not YouTube quality. It's not video content quality. And for me personally, after coming through the experience I did, podcast works for me. So it's great if you're a person who can, live stream every day and do content every day like that. That's not everybody's journey. And to say someone should make that their journey, it would be like that person telling you to stop vlogging every day, stop doing what you're doing. So it goes the other way. You can't tell people what to do. You can advise them, but unless you're down in the weeds with them, you can't really say what goes on behind. And I just personally don't think it's exciting enough. But again, over the next few weeks, we're locking down some things. My interest is more about once we get out on the road, we'll be launching a weekly YouTube series and going in and talking to the people, because I don't want this project to be about me. It's not about me. It's about, the untold stories of American families. I want the focus to be on the work, the families, the corruption, the need for humanitarian efforts and attention to be brought to this. I want to create a nationwide conversation about what needs to happen to pull our families together and start to value the children in our society again. When I had James on, James Dugan from a previous podcast with United Brotherhood of Fathers, clearly you can see this is not a female point of view. It's not just a male point of view. It's a parent point of view. We all have an interest in this, or we should. I don't understand why people wouldn't have some type of feedback on this. And what disturbs me most is how, as much as we ask every time we put a podcast out, how social workers, governors, assemblymen, senators, no one wants to email me. No one. How do you not want to chime in on this topic? I mean, at least to even tell me, really? So you won't go on the record, but I have agencies calling me and in a very non-professional manner, and doing other things. To me, that just puts a focus on your ulterior motives and your horrible tactics. And I'm just going to keep talking about them. As a matter of fact, I'm really glad you guys stopped calling, because I was screenshot and putting it out on social media. But to me, that's a coward. So, and to me, it puts an emphasis on the fact that what you're doing is wrong. And so, again, I like to say there are good people doing good work. And we talk a lot about this with the people that we interview. We have gone as far up as we can with some of these people. Hopefully tomorrow, on tomorrow's episode, I'll be bringing Jennifer Butler on. And she has a hell of a case out in Redding, California. And, I got on the phone with her multiple times trying to talk to the Department of Justice, the Civil Rights Division, to call the state's attorney in California and force them to acknowledge her violence against women rights, her VAWA rights, and to force the police officer to rewrite his report accurately to show attempted vehicular manslaughter. These are serious crimes that are being committed, and because they're being committed against women and children, we still have Neanderthals walking around in uniform that think that's okay. To me, that tells me you go home and beat your damn wife, or you are abusive, that you wouldn't think that that is something that would deem a report instead of just saying, oh, we'll just document this this incident. And, you know, I'm not going to give up her story. I'll let her tell it. But there's serious issues, America, that we need to talk about, okay? And, you know, this is a dark topic, and I've been down in the weeds a long time, and I never pull any punches. I have every intention of continuing this podcast. However, I will be bringing other players in. There will be other hosts coming in to offset some of these podcasts because I need to back off a little bit. And, you know, I'm looking forward to getting my boy home, and I need to focus on working with him, and he's going to need a lot of love and therapy and family reunification therapy, and he's going to need to, you know, have help. And I clearly see what the treatment program is for my son, and I can see that there's literally hundreds of millions of dollars that these families across America that have been victims of this are going to, they're going to need it. I mean, where's it going to come from? Where is it going to come from? And this is what I'm trying to tell people. Even if you don't have children, even if you're not a humanitarian, philanthropist, parent advocate, even if you despise children and never want to have children, if you work and pay taxes, you should be concerned. You really should. Because these parents have a viable lawsuit against the government for damages to their families. And you can't sit there as a human being and say they shouldn't be compensated out of your tax dollars. It's cruel. Okay, so it's happening. It's the snowball is starting to pick up speed. It's uphill, and the next thing you know, this is going to be bigger, bigger, faster, faster. And this is going to spawn a conversation amongst the taxpayer people, okay, the advocates, because I know for a fact what I'm doing. People are going to be, their tax dollars are going to have to pay out a huge class action lawsuit. But guess what? Don't be mad at the parents. Be mad at the damn government who did this corruption and chose this path. Don't bring misdirected anger towards this project. You know, go right to the source. And the longer that this goes on, the more, you know, damages are done, the larger that lawsuit's going to be. So pick up your phone, call your assemblyman, call your governors, call your senators, call the White House, call the DOJ, Department of Justice, call the White House VAWA office who didn't want to talk to me last year about any of these cases. Start blowing the damn phones up. Start blowing up the phones, and let's just end this, okay? There is, the way I have broke this business model down is that it, these funds coming out of Social Security, entitlement, 4D funding, and adoption incentives could be reallocated to truly create a improvement into the American family unit. And again, I'm overtasked, understaffed. I probably have 12 documents right now that as data comes in, as research comes in, I keep adding to these documents, and some of them are slowly leaking. Reminder for those of you who did not follow this project when we launched it in January on social media and the podcast April 4th, my 9,624 cases, along with all of my data, all of the business documents for my company were snatched twice. May of 2016. And again, January 17th of 2017. So as you can imagine, years, over a decade of research. And so that was the importance of this project. I mean, and you got to understand the bipolar issue here. As a professional, I sit here and go, oh, it's not ready. On the other hand, the humanitarian says, just go. Go all in, and it's just documents, and we'll pick up the pieces as we go, because that's where we were. The investigation itself was, it was ready. It was prime. It was time to take this to the airwaves. I was getting a lot of pushback, and we were forced to have to go to podcasts unprepared. So, you know, if you're looking for clean, neat, and all tidy podcast, and you're really like, you know, an OCD freak, and you really need to have it every day, this isn't for you. But if you can deal with our sporadic posting and understand that this is a movement, this is for a purpose, this is to find a solution, and we feel that this is important, then you keep listening. If not, that's okay too. We're glad you tuned in once, twice, thrice, but we just got to keep moving on. You know, we have, our team is expanding over the U.S. Here pretty soon we'll have an advocate in every state. There's a couple people running for governor in two states that we're endorsing and supporting. Our advocates are joining other teams, political campaign teams. So keeping that in mind, every time I train someone, they're empowered to go and fight a bigger cause, because JSU is just a springboard. It's just a springboard. So when they're ready to bounce and they have an opportunity, I send them off with good graces. Doors always open. But what if you can go from JSU to a political campaign to put somebody in an office that's going to reform this, you have my whole blessing, every support, every resource. I will back you no matter what. Because I am the person who's been knocking on doors for 15 years and having them slammed in my face, emails unreturned, complete lackadaisical, lack of professionalism, no concern for the constituents, no concern for the children, lack of empathy in our government. I mean, you want me to keep going? It's pretty bad. Okay. So yeah, I will take the hit and miss a podcast going out for the sake of having to replace and retrain someone who stepped off to go and take a higher cause. So, you know, that's just where I'm at with this. But, you know, I wanted to give more of myself today and talk a little bit more candidly about this project and, you know, in hopes that I can, you know, kickstart the courage in some of the parents who are, you know, not scheduling your calls or not keeping your calls, to advocates who are scared to step up like, you know, Ryan Swindle did. I mean, Ryan Swindle stepped up. He tackled Arizona with a vengeance. He's now sitting on the campaign team for Marissa Hamilton, which, by the way, we're going to have on next month. Marissa, if you're listening, thank you. Can't wait to talk to you in July. And yes, I will be getting to the typo in your name. I got called out. So in journalism, anytime I have a typo, you feel free to call me out on my all the time, because I don't want anybody misspelling my name either. So this is about risking more, going all in, and bypassing fear, bypassing pain, in order to serve a higher cause. And it's a unified effort of parents to tackle this issue. And, you know, I believe that energy, when you compile it, it attracts. But the only way energy attracts one another is if you maintain a positive attitude and a positive energy. Otherwise, you're attracting negative. You know, GSU parents, get on the podcast. If you feel compelled to become an advocate, be an advocate. If you're a humanitarian, if you're an artist, if you're a musician, you know, we've integrated this program. And we're going to be launching a huge event. Dark City Media Group has had this in the making for a long time. 5 years, actually. I was just lucky enough and blessed enough that I was given the Olympia Awards. And so I've integrated... I've allowed Olympia Awards to piggyback off of what I was already doing, which is the Monster and Heroes Ball. And, you know, that's going to be a very large endeavor. So we're getting a project manager on that who lives in London. And as that comes along, we'll be putting up updates. And our goal is to have that probably June of next year in 2018, perhaps It can't be August because we don't want to interfere with Tomorrowland's annual event that takes place every year. But again, anybody interested in jumping on this project, we're hoping in about 30 to 45 days, we're going to have some paid positions available. And you can contact me, send your resume in a Dropbox link to justicespeaksup.us. You can also go to the top of my personal Instagram and have my my email there for the company. I do not take phone calls right now. So unsolicited phone calls will not be accepted. You have to contact me initially through email. And then I will schedule a call with you over email. And we'll do a follow-up. JSU advocates have a presence online in the Facebook groups. Which, by the way, I don't know if you've heard, but Mark Zuckerberg, sorry, I just slaughtered your name. He's done a really cool thing on trying to put an emphasis on creating the Facebook groups. So we have a Justice Speaks Up Facebook group. I encourage you to go over there if you want to learn more about this and meet some of the other parents. Or if you're going through this and you're too scared to get on a podcast, maybe you can get courage just by going and talking to some of the other parents that are in there that have already done the podcast, who are advocating. I mean, there's ways to baby step into this and getting your story out there. And keep in mind, any cases with children, minors involved, journalists can't gain access to your family's story. And you have to voluntarily submit that. You know, I'm an experienced investigator. I have some other experienced investigators I'm dealing with. So we know how to evaluate these files, and we know how to break them down and prepare them for attorneys. And, you know, we're here to assist you. And this is kind of a passion project. So, because passion is everything. And as I've said, I'm not one for small talk. So rather than me carry on mundane small talk, I'm going to wrap it up. In closing, for anybody who maybe didn't catch it on a previous podcast, we do have a change.org petition pinned to the top of my Twitter feed, which you can go and sign, like, share, do whatever you wish. We encourage you to do that. We'd appreciate all your support. And until next time, everyone take care.
This has been brought to you by Drown Rat Productions. Remember, we are everywhere and nowhere.
Yeah. When I get home, I turn